fun to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson, the man who you will deal with at the Marion County Park District. Okay, now going back to, let me mention, before I go back to James, Trinity Baptist Church, their Sunday sermon will be on this station Sundays and Wednesday nights, 6:10 to 7 p.m., and starting April 3rd, from 4:10 to 5 p.m. will be a new talk show called Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond. And then we'll start new hours for prize pickups Monday, April 1st through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. and Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Okay, we'll talk about more about that later. But right now, it's back to James. Okay, now, James, we looked at some of the birds you brought. The cardinal, the starling, the sparrow, and what else do you have there that might be of interest?
I brought this little guy. Do you know who he is?
Oh, let me see. No, I don't recognize him.
This is a brown-headed cowbird.
Oh, the one that lays eggs in other nests.
Yes, oh, yep. Yeah. It's called parasitic brooding.
Okay.
Yep, it's like you said, what will happen is it will lay its eggs in other birds' nests, yeah. And then those other parents will raise their young.
Right.
And a lot of times the cowbird eggs hatch first, and then they usually grow up quicker, so they usually outcompete the host chicks.
Isn't that something? I saw a whole television program on the brown-headed cowbird the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay. And I thought, well, that sure sounds familiar. Yeah. Isn't it? I wonder if there's any other birds that do that. That's such a strange thing.
A lot of the cuckoos, not here in the United States, but out in Europe.
Really?
They do that parasitic brooding.
Yeah. It's like humans saying, hey, I've got one too many kids. I'm going to drop him off at your house and you can raise him.
That's right. That's right. But they have noticed basically the only parental duty they've seen cowbirds do is they will kind of watch what the host parents will do, and if the host parents aren't taking care of their chicks or their eggs or will kick the cowbird egg out, the cowbird parent will go and kill the chicks or the egg.
Okay.
So I guess that is about as far as parenting as they will do.
Wow. And it showed too where the cowbird would make sure that the other bird would roll the egg over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is interesting how they do that. Now, these guys have not, they don't think were native to Ohio for, you know, a long time. They believe the first one was spotted in 1840 because cowbirds are more open land species.
Okay.
And, of course, before pre-settlement times, Ohio was primarily forested. So as we humans were expanding into Ohio, we were destroying a lot of, you know, the trees to create agriculture. So species like brown-headed cowbirds could thrive.
Yeah, and we have our share of them out in Clarendon.
Oh, yeah.
They're all over the place.
Yeah. They have caused some warbler species to decline, especially like Kirtland's warbler.
Wow. Okay. Now, last year and the year before, I saw so many of the Carolina Wren.
Oh, yeah.
And it has at least 10 different songs.
Yes.
And you know it's around, but I haven't, the one we had for several years, I haven't heard much. Might have went on to a greener territory.
Yeah, might have, yeah.
Yeah, you never know. What else do you have there?
I have a indigo bunting with me.
Yes. Indigo bunting. Oh, that's a beautiful little bird.
Yes, and we have quite a few of these guys during the summer at Tallgrass Trail, especially around the trailhead. And when you're looking at this bird, what color are you seeing primarily?
I see, it's a bluish, purplish.
Okay, so yeah, blue and purple. Well, what if I told you in the bird world there is actually no true blue feathers?
Really?
So if I were to grab one of these feathers and I were to crush it, it would actually turn out like a grayish blue, not
a
true blue.
Yeah.
So what it is, especially if I get closer to the light and I tilt it, it's the iridescence that's causing that color.
Wow.
So if I grabbed a cardinal feather and crushed it, it would be red. So so like a gray day like today, if I were to go out look for bluebirds and blue jays and indigo buntings, if they were here, they would appear more gray than they would blue. Versus a sunny day, they would be that bright blue color.
Yeah. On my bicycle, I used to see indigo buntings on the wires.
Yeah.
Along kestrels.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Not very close together, though.
Yeah. I brought me a eastern bluebird. So these guys are very common. And these guys we're hoping will nest at the new bluebird boxes that our Eagle Scout made.
That's an eastern bluebird, but he's brown.
Yes, yeah. Well, I got to remember these guys are a little older.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this one's probably about a 20-year-old specimen.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, but yeah, the one brother made more benches on the trail, and then the other brother made bluebird boxes. So we're hoping that the bluebirds will take advantage and nest in there.
I put up bluebird boxes, but anything but bluebirds are in them.
Yeah, and one of the big reasons why is the hole might be a little too big, so it might be fighting house sparrows, starlings.
Okay.
Bluebirds are very picky. They have to have a very certain style of house, and the hole has to kind of be a little bit rectangular. They highly recommend, too, put a thin chicken coop wire, so it helps the bluebirds climb out. So you do have to do a little research.
Yeah.
Like I talked about on the other radio on Tuesday, different birds will have different preferences. Some like bluebirds, you can put the box at chest high and it's fine. But like purple martins, the box has to be 10, 12 feet above the ground. And of course, when people build boxes, especially with the kids, they may want to paint them and stain them to make them look more attractive.
Yeah.
And they may look great, but for birds, it's not really good because the chemicals can leak through and harm the parents and the young.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Now, there are purple martins around?
Yes, yeah, there's quite a few purple martins in Marion County. They're not yet here in the state, or they are. They're more in the southern part of the state. For too long, they'll be here in Marion County.
Was there any natural event that created their disappearance for a while?
Well, it's actually, the Blizzard 70 had probably a little influence, but what the big thing is, we have actually influenced their behavior with those boxes, and so there are actually very few purple martins and also barn owls who are not nesting in natural cavities.
Wow.
They're highly dependent on boxes that you provide.
That's something. And I can remember years ago in the 1950s when we had those X-shaped television antennas. They would, you'd find purple martins all over them.
Yeah.
A good perching places.
Yeah, they would be.
But, yeah.
Pleasant Township Park, I know they have a few purple martin boxes they put out during the summertime.
Okay. Now, those purple martins, do we put out any feed for them? If we did, where would it be?
Nope. They are primarily insectivores, they eat insects. So you do need to put it out in an open area.
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to put it, if you got small trees, that'd be okay, but you don't want to put it inside a forest because they wouldn't able to maneuver very well.
Something that will come about, too, will be chimney swifts.
Yes.
Now, do they all live in chimneys?
And they're also another species that have been heavily influenced with humans. With today's times, a lot of them are in chimneys. Oh,
well,
do we have a caller?
Yes. Let me see here. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yes, Charlie, we were wondering, do we have whippoorwills in Marion County?
Whippoorwill.
No, those are more of a southern species. So Hocking Hills would be a really great spot. Where I went to Hocking College, we would hear them all the time. But no, we just don't have the adequate habitat for whippoorwills in Marion.
I was raised in Lawrence County, and we had them there. all over the place.
Which county was that?
My husband and I were just talking. We were listening to your show, and we wondered about the whippoorwill.
Okay, whippoorwill.
Yeah, I always love their call.
Yeah. We used to, as kids, we used to get out and mimic them, and they'd call back.
Yeah, sometimes they'll do that.
Yep. All right, well, thank you.
Thanks.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't heard a whippoorwill in a long time.
Yeah, it's probably since I've been to college, so it's been a few years since I've heard a whippoorwill.
Yeah, but I can recall that whippoorwill.
Yeah, I always love that call.
What other bird sings? How about the bird that used to be the part of the Rinso White commercial? Rinso White, Rinso White, happy little birthday song, happy little what song? And that was the Bob White.
Oh, Bob White Quail?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And not many of those around either.
No, unfortunately, the blizzard of 78 really affected their populations.
Yes.
And, of course, farmers getting rid of that fence row.
And there again, yes. Habitat.
Yes,
loss.
Habitat, yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you probably wouldn't. Rinso White, happy little wash day song. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it would be preceded by Rinso White, Rinso White.
Yeah. I like that.
Oh, man. That's from years ago. Oh, boy. So, okay. So, a lot of birds, the big ones came back about right on time, maybe even a little bit before. The buzzards.
Yes, the vultures. When I visited you at the nursing home, they were coming probably a week before that.
Okay. Oh, here's another caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, why is the Canada goose a protected species?
Because they are a migratory bird. And yes, I know we have ones that are regulars. They'll stay there year round. But because overall they're migratory, then they're under that Migratory Bird Treaty Act. So they are protected. Now, they are a game species, but they're still under that protection from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Well, wouldn't it make sense to ban those that stick around so we'll know which ones to shoot and
yeah.
which ones are different?
Yeah,
you can ban all of them you want.
It could get a little tricky, but I see where you're coming from, yeah. And there, a lot of them are courting right now, and they're going to be having young for too long.
And don't get near.
Yeah. Another one. How bad is the coyote situation in Marion County? Is it blown out of proportion, or is it really something to be somewhat concerned about?
I haven't heard too many reports in Marion County. Now, other counties, like especially up by Cleveland, I've heard there have been more of a nuisance. Now, like I've talked in my coyote program before, I mean, there are probably well over 100 coyotes in Marion County alone. I would say, I mean, especially your agricultural area, so like LaRue, Prospect, Waldo, I mean, those guys would definitely like to hang around those areas. So, of course, they're going to be a nuisance with a lot of our livestock, poultry farmers. But as of right now, there are no reports of, you know, them out of, like, too out of control.
Mm-hmm. Do they still get a bounty on them?
No, not much. Not from the state.
Many years ago.
Yeah. Now, you can sell them to you know, a trapper or a fur buyer, and you might get, I think, $10 or something, but there's not much bounty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, James, here's something that my wife discovered this the other day.
Okay.
In our barnyard, there is an 8-inch section with a hoof on it of a deer's leg.
Really?
And I don't know how it would have gotten there. I'm sure the coyotes, it would have been a small deer.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the coyotes would, I wouldn't think they would do that.
They might.
But yeah. But it's lying there. All by itself with the hoop still on it.
Huh, really?
About 8 inches, yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. And I haven't seen many coyotes in our backyard, so.
Oh, yeah?
Whatever it is a mystery.
That's right.
Probably never find out. Well, we're going to break now. We'll be back in a minute or so. Stay tuned to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio.
I've got my milk and my bowl and my saucer.
Sounds like you're getting ready for breakfast. What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of golden grams with a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson. Okay, James, we talked about birds and other animals and everything, but what can people get out that need to get out in the great outdoors? What should they? Where do they go first of all?
Well, if you're someone that can't, don't have a very good sense of balance or need more of a flat surface, of course, tall grass trail is always a very good place to go. But I always recommend if you kind of like a woody, secluded foresty areas, of course, the Myers Woods, Terradyce, and Greensboro. Those three other parks would be very good places. And then, I mean, we're very fortunate. We have like Pleasant Township Park, and then all of our village parks having playground equipment. We're just very fortunate to have a wonderful park system in Marion County.
And there's one in Cardington. It is so neat.
Yes, Maxwell.
Yeah. Oh my land. You know, right there by the river and the railroad tracks.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice
one. Oh, it is. And a lot of people gather there with their kids before they're old enough to go to school, and I like to see that.
Yeah. And yeah, my wife's school is just right down the road.
And it's so that actually a kid can wade out into the river without any problem.
And some spots is really deep. I've done programs in there.
Oh, is that right?
It's come up to my chest, and I'm 6'5", so I be careful.
Yeah, okay. Always surround, okay.
But no, during the fall, the Tomorrow Center, where my wife works, we do a river cleanup.
Oh, okay.
So we start on the other end of the river, since it's a lot more shallow, by one of the, I think it's the Village Park by not Caledonia, Cardington.
Yeah.
And then we split off and we collect trash.
Wow.
And we put them in canoes, so it's a little bit lighter.
Oh, okay. I can only imagine after the tornado in 1981, all the trash that needed to be picked up.
Oh, I imagine,
That was something.
It's good that town was able to build back. There's some towns that still haven't recovered from tornado strikes.
And what was so surprising, a lot of the build backs, I think... government loans, they built back maybe twice the size that they really needed or what used to be.
Okay.
And didn't stay in business that long. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
There was Al's restaurant. It used to be on going south on the main drag. Then it turned and went east.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's still there or not.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think, no. And that was as something that was in Cardington forever. Cardington got its name because they used to card wool there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, carded wool is, they use those big steel brushes.
Yeah,
yeah.
I used to do that. Yeah.
You were a carder.
A carder, okay.
Cardington, yeah. And boy, that must have been a big time down there back and before the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Okay, now, we talked about you can get out now. What will we find if we go to the Trello Romine place there?
Oh, Terradyce? Yeah,
Terradyce.
Oh, right now, a lot of birds. Turkeys, you might see, because they're breeding season. And we got a lot of turkeys around that area.
You say it's breeding season for turkeys?
It's going to be very soon. Oh. So I've always, every spring, I always see a small flock of turkeys hang around the Terradyce Nature Preserve.
Wow.
Last year I got to see two males. They didn't physically fight, but they were puffing up and trying to look big and bad. And it was really fun to watch.
I bet. You ever talk to anybody that eats any of the wild turkeys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They say it's definitely a lot different tasting than like what you buy at the grocery store.
Maybe a little stronger flavor. And I wonder if they soak them in salt water overnight.
I'm not sure, but I imagine.
Yeah, okay. So turkeys are edible as long as you got a license and hunt them.
That's right. That's right.
In a definite season, right?
Yes. Yep. There's a spring season and a fall season.
Okay. So, yep. You know, if anyone is in the hunting mood for anything, they would be smart to get a ODNR brochure.
Yes.
That lists all the different seasons for things out there that you can shoot or kill.
Yep, and you can get them free at Walmart, Myers, anywhere that really sells firearms.
Okay, right near where they sell the firearms, yeah.
Yeah, so the sporting goods section, yeah. They usually, ODNR puts out fishing and hunting licenses that you can buy, and also you can, you know, get the pamphlets. And,
yeah. Now, it used to be there was a shooting range down there east of Waldo.
The Waldo Sportsman Club. Yeah, I've done some programs there.
Really?
Yeah, they're a nice little facility.
Now, I remember I went there once. I had to buy, I think it was $5 a permit. I think I bought it at Walmart. And then you show that to whomever is in the booth there.
Okay.
And I don't know if that anything like that has changed or not.
I'm not sure.
But when I was there and shooting my .22... down the row from me was a guy with a machine gun.
Oh, geez.
Oh, man. And I can only imagine all the lead that's in that hill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But no one ever says anything about lead in the ground.
No, that they don't.
Oh, my. 11:37 is the time. Okay, now, at the Tallgrass Trail, how often are you there at the trailhead to meet and greet people?
It's going to be starting to increase since with the warmer weather. Of course, we got scheduled field trips for April and May. So, and then, of course, summertime, that's when we're typically out there the most, myself. And then we're going to hopefully get a intern for too long. We have one more interview next week. So,
oh, good. Okay.
We had a really good season for candidates. We had three people. So.
Well, that's good. There are young people interested in becoming interns, who later on could advance themselves and go to school like you did.
Yeah, yeah. The one is actually, she just graduated, and then the other two are already in school.
Really?
So, yeah.
Now, you're able to offer your advice, of course, to any intern.
Oh, yeah, yep. We'll bring them here on the radio.
That's right. You had one last year.
Yep. Miss Kenna.
Now, where is she now?
She's at Pleasant. She's a senior.
Okay, all right.
So she was our first high schooler.
Okay.
But yeah, we typically go for college students or people who just graduated from college for naturalist intern.
How much time does an intern use?
Oh, we use them quite a bit during the summertime with our programming. Our big events, of course, the Marion County Fair. We're always needing, you know, people to fill in spots. So. They're used quite often.
Okay. Well, that's good. Now, should an intern have just an interest in that field, or should they have any kind of training first?
We're kind of looking for someone to, it's kind of got a small background in natural resources and also a small background of, you know, able to teach nature. So we're not requiring, you know, a humongous amount, right, but just kind of a basic. So because when you're with us, then, you know, hopefully they'll able to gain more of those skills, so then they can use it for a fancy for other careers.
Well, that's good, because I think there are a lot of young people this would come naturally to that would enjoy teaching about wildlife or natural life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so we're quite excited.
Well, that's good. Okay. So you'll select an intern to begin what month?
Probably in May.
Okay.
I would say late May, early June. That's typically when we start. And then they usually end in late July or August.
Okay, now you're offering programs at various libraries, but what about out at the trailhead? Now, you've got some room out there, don't you?
Yes. We have that little one-room nature center building that we do programs. And, of course, with this time of year, since it's a little bit warmer, we like to do more of our programs outside.
Uh-huh.
So get people out to explore. So.
Okay, and going back to the birds, Many eagles around there, more eagles now?
Oh, yes. Oh, boy, this winter, we've had a lot of great photographers that have taken a lot of great photography of the bald eagles. I don't know if you followed us on Facebook.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of juvenile eagles, very surprising.
Really?
A few adults that we've noticed on the picture. So we're thinking, hopefully, one day one of those juveniles will see the trail as a new potential home and may want to build a nest. So we'll see.
Now, the juveniles do not have a white head?
No. So when they're born, they're that almost solid brown. They'll have a little touch of white.
Yeah.
But bald eagles are one of the few bird species here in Ohio that as they age, they'll turn more into their adults. So you can actually age in a bald eagle about the amount of white is in his head.
Okay.
So like one of the pictures we saw a 3-year-old because it had primarily white but a little bit brown, but that solid white head is about 4 to 5 years old.
Wow.
So we know that.
That's interesting. Okay. Now, eagles, of course, are also not necessarily they're a predator, but they also will eat roadkill.
Yeah, a lot of people do not realize that. Yep, they are like vultures, and yep, they will eat roadkill. It's kind of like their backup. Bald eagles, I know, prefer to eat stuff alive first, but I think if they can't find food, they will take advantage of
carcasses. Eagles love fish, don't they?
Oh, yes. Yep. That's probably like their primary food source and then other stuff.
And they'll take the voles and the mice, field mice?
Yeah. They'll probably go after a little bit bigger animals, like squirrels and rabbits.
Okay.
Versus more of your hawks and kestrels go after more of the mice.
And what's the main thing they use to catch their prey? Their long toenails?
Yes, which are called talons.
Talons, okay.
Yep. And that's how they grab it. Now, like with owls, when they're going after rodents, they basically stomp on them real hard. And then if they're not alive, they have a little tooth underneath their beak called the tamelia, and it basically, when they snap the neck.
No kidding.
So they're as they're eating it, the prey is not trying to bite them.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's creepy, but fascinating.
Yeah, they talk about Mother Nature. I don't know what mother there is in Mother Nature, but there's a natural thing.
Yes, that there is.
Yeah, wow. Amazing. 11:42 is the time. Now, if you have any questions, comments, or whatever, suggestions, give us a buzz here, 740-383-9944. James Anderson, our naturalist and the man who heads the Marion County Park District. My guest today, as always, on the last Thursday of the month. Incidentally, in another hour or so, I'll be in Bucyrus with my Bucyrus High School class of 1952.
Oh, boy.
There's still a few of us alive.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I have to take a picture of them this time to send to one of my cousins is my age out in California. He wanted to know if anybody is still alive back there in Bucyrus. Oh, my. Time flies, James.
That it does.
Yeah, and just think, 60 or 70 years from now, you'll remember what I said.
That's right. The great Charlie Evers.
Oh, boy. But, looking back, you were able to take the groundhog and bring it over to Morrow County, so it was a little closer to some of the people over there to get a good-looking pictures taken with it.
Yes, it was. It was a really good program that they had.
And that creates a lot of interest, too.
Yes, it does.
Okay. 11:43 is the time. And when we come back to it, James will be telling you all about some of the programs that are scheduled for the upcoming month or so. So you want to be listening for that. And I was trying to think of anything else. Muskrats, they're around yet, a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. Yep, we have quite a few at the trail.
Okay.
The beavers.
Beavers, yep. Muskrats, yeah.
Yep, a lot of people have been sending pictures and videos of the beavers at the trail. So.
Okay, what about river otters?
We haven't spotted too many. I spotted one time at Teradice a couple years ago, floating down the Olentangy.
Really? Do they float upside down?
Not as much as the sea otters.
Okay.
The sea otter, their bigger cousin, are the ones that typically do that.
Yeah, the sea otter, it's almost laughable because I was on a couple of cruises, and I spent all my time looking at wildlife, and looking down, here's all these sea otters lying on their back, almost looking up, laughing.
Yeah, they're cute, aren't they?
I wonder what the reason for that backward recline would be.
Maybe it's just to not spend as much energy swimming.
I can imagine. Okay. We're going to break now. We'll be right back with James
Scott
Anderson.
WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, I was wondering what they were talking about. Okay, now back with James Anderson. James, you know, it's off the subject, but I was watching the legislature live the other day. They had two truckers on there.
Okay.
And they were telling about the dangers that trucks have in potholes.
Oh,
how
yeah.
Not only can they can blow tires, but they can crack the rims that the tires are on.
Oh, yeah, I can believe that.
And they said, too, that one of the big dangers or things are the lips on a bridge. You know, you go thump, thump.
Oh, yeah.
And they said there's all, and they were campaigning, of course, for an increase in the tax to repair these roads.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. I'm
sure Morrow County needs it.
Oh, my. I always think of Morrow County.
Yeah.
I hope that new, that installation there in southern Morrow County will provide a few tax dollars.
Oh, the Dollar General?
The Dollar Tree, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Oh, my goodness. And unless they gave them a tax break.
I'm not sure.
But in Morrow County, funds are needed to repair bridges. Oh, my goodness.
Bridges and roads.
Oh, yes. Oh. Now, there was an interesting thing. Some of the patchwork that was done on 95, and you've been over it, it doesn't look to me like it was asphalt. It's so hard. It was almost like cement.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I noticed.
Makes your car bounce.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Isn't that weird?
It is. I think if I heard right for someone, I guess it's easier to plow what they did.
Is that right?
Yeah, than the normal asphalt.
Oh.
So man. I don't know how true that is, but that's what somebody told me.
It sure is bumpy.
Yeah, it is. You can say that again.
But at least it isn't holy.
Yes, that's right.
It's bumpy and not holy.
Oh, my road's holy.
Oh, boy. And James, I don't know if you noticed too, the grain trucks that go on Route 95, just one after another.
Oh, yeah.
I counted at least about 12 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wonder where all that corn's coming from.
Yeah,
if it
true.
Is corn, I'm sure it is. Probably going out here to Poet.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Wow. Didn't think about that. Yeah, Poet would be a big distribution.
A lot of that coal could be, or corn could be coming from Knox County and even beyond.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay. Now, what type of programs and what specific programs you have coming up in the month of April?
Yes. All right. So April 5th, we'll be having a Frog Watch research program at the Marion Tallgrass Trail. We're going to start at Foundation Lake. This will be at 8 o'clock in the evening. I know it sounds late, but this is when a lot of the frog activity starts to come out. So it's geared for kind of older children and adults, but, I mean, all ages are welcome to come. We will just be going out and listening to some of the different species, and whatever we discover, I will report it to what's called the Frog Watch program, and they'll use those numbers to determine what's going on with the local frogs and toads in Marion County.
So you'll be able to listen to and separate the peep frogs from anything else?
That's what we'll try, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yep. Now, if you can get the people quiet enough that are with you.
Yes, that'd be the next challenge, yep. On April 8th, we'll be having a wildflower program at the Paradise Nature Preserve at 5 o'clock p.m. So, well, not a lot of wildflowers, but there'll be some wildflowers coming out, so that'll be exciting. On the 13th is our Earth Day event and opening day of trails at Marion Tallgrass Trail from 1 to 4. So we'll have different family fun events. You'll have different children games, activities, crafts that you can take home. All ages are welcome, and it's a great time. So, again, that's on April 13th. On the 17th, we're having what's just called a spring hike at the Marion Tallgrass Trail at 6 o'clock p.m., so we'll just go out and see what we can discover. On the 18th, we'll have our board meeting at the county building downstairs in the Prospect Meeting Room starting at noon. On the 22nd, we'll be having a bird watching program at 8 o'clock in the morning at Tallgrass Trail. But this time we're going to start at the Epsyfield Baptist Church, which is at the 3.7-mile marker of the Marion Tallgrass Trail. Please keep in mind there are no restrooms, so please bring water if you need that, and bring your binoculars and what else you bring for bird watching. On the 24th, we are having what's called the Ohio Critter Comeback Program at 6:30 p.m. at Heritage Hall. If you're not familiar, Heritage Hall is part of the Marion County Historical Society building. It's downstairs. So we're going to learn about some of the wildlife we've once lost but are coming back. So animals like bobcats and bears. We'll also be talking about some other animals. Following after that program at 7 o'clock, it's our Friends of the Prairie Park meeting. So this is a great way how you can help out Marion Tallgrass Trail and our other parks. On the 27th, we'll be at the Tri-Rivers, the Time Travelers Fair, at from 12 to 5 p.m. So if you want more information, please contact the Marion County Historical Society. On the 28th, we'll be not far away from Charlie. We'll be at the Eco Center for their Earth Day celebration from 12 to 4 p.m. And on the 29th, we'll be having a Fernal Pool program at the Teradice Nature Preserve at 5:30. And so come learn about this unique ecosystem and the animals that live here. The 25th, we'll be back with Charlie Evers from 10 to noon. So those are some of our programs, but please keep in mind that some of our programs can be canceled due to the weather, and we do cancel them on the Facebook pages.
Okay.
So that is April.
I think of your vernal pools every time I'm on Nesbitt Road.
Oh, yeah?
And going across the railroad tracks on the north side is a permanent vernal pool. I think it's permanent. Or nearly so.
Okay.
And it's full of trash. If you went dipping you'd come up with bottles and debris of all kinds. And probably some varmints, too.
Probably.
That's on Nesbitt Road, just north of the railroad tracks on the east side. So what about, there's a vernal pool, of course, forming in a lot of places, but it dries up, doesn't it, later in the year?
Yes. So what they're designed to be full in the spring and dried up in the summer.
Okay, we have a caller. Ralph, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
And James.
Yes.
Enjoyed the program today.
Well, thank you.
But out there on 95, we took a little crew ride out to the lake and everything. The ponds or lakes, whatever, is on out 95. Is them that fish accessible, or are they just...
there for spite. 95 West?
Yeah, 95 West.
Oh, heading towards like LaRue and all?
Yeah, that right. And all of them are little like lakes or ponds, whatever you want to call them back through there. Are they fish accessible or just...
Well, that's owned by the state of Ohio. So some of them, yes, and some of them, no. So that we'd have to contact the state. Now, we have our lake, which is off of Her Road.
Yeah, I've seen that. We was over there, and they had a kayak, and people setting up to go fishing in kayaks and stuff when we was out there. And but we was wondering, and we went out to that thing where, you know, you sightsee, but it was kind of packed, and people with cameras and stuff, so.
Okay. Yeah, there's some spots you can pull off. I know when you're on Epsyfield, kind of towards out the Elgin School District, where Big Island goes a lot.
Right.
I know there's a lot of places you can pull off and to take pictures or go hunting or what.
Yeah, I was just wondering, and we saw an eagle on top of a deer carcass over there, and
it
was really amazing to just see what out there, you know, when you do go out.
Yeah, it is interesting, that the eagles will eat the deer carcasses. We saw a lot of it this winter, them doing that.
Yeah. All right, guys, appreciate your time there, and talk to you later.
Thanks,
all right, thank you.
All right, yeah. I don't know, can you get a map of the Big Island Wildlife Area?
They do have a map. I think you can download it from the Ohio Division of Wildlife.
Off the internet?
Yes.
That's good. It would that kind of tell you where you would find accessible ponds, I wonder?
I think. Now, don't hold it to him, but I think.
Okay.
I know their office is right outside of the Elgin School District.
Oh, okay.
What's that road? I can't remember. But
Espyville Road, right beside, let's see, goes north and south.
Yeah.
On the west side of Elgin.
Okay.
And then I can't remember the name of the road in front of Elgin High
School. Yeah, I forget some of those roads.
That's like the LaRue Upper Sandusky.
Yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
Right.
But yeah, I know that the Big Island Wildlife Office is out there, so they might be able to give you more information.
Yeah.
And I don't know what their hours are. You would have to research when they're open.
And that watery area there along the LaRue Upper Sandusky Road, that's all accessible for fishing or whatever. As long as you have a license.
Yeah, you got to have a license.
Because
yep.
I can remember, too, going out there in the wintertime on the bird survey and encountering a man who had muskrat traps.
Oh, yeah?
Checking them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11:56 is the time. If you'd like to call, any questions, now's a good time. 740-383-9944. James, you've been with the Park District now for how many years?
It's going on 4 years in May.
Wow, time flies.
It always sure does.
And, of course, you're involved in something you dearly love, and that you went to school for a number of years for all this.
Yep.
And I suppose every day, almost, you learn something else.
Oh, yeah. You get to do different things, get to meet new people. So it's definitely an interesting career.
And numerous questions always.
Yes, and that's why you always have to keep up to date. You got to read a lot. You got to keep, and some of that information gets outdated. So,
because
they find new discoveries. So, you never stop learning in this area.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And even though you may be an expert in one area, there's always many others. So.
There's always another area.
Yes.
Yeah. And out there, of course, and near the trailhead are the huge turbines. Of a whirlpool generating electricity.
Yeah, yep. They're our neighbors.
And I don't know if migrating birds would encounter them with any. Probably not.
They have. I mean, not specifically there, but in other cases,
yeah.
There have been. So, and also migrating bats too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Boy, those are big, big twirlers.
Yeah. Because
wow.
A lot of our songbirds migrate at nighttime.
Oh.
So, you know, of course, they don't see the blades.
Oh, that's right,
And
yeah.
Then with the bats, you know, because they use echolocation, well, by the time they hit the one blade and the thing's coming back, it's already rotated. So
that's right,
just, the bat wouldn't respond quick enough to know where the blade is.
It'd be interesting just to make a study there.
Yeah. One of my college professors, and I don't know where it was in Ohio, but they looked at the bottom of a windmill on a lot of different kinds of migratory warblers.
Oh, right.
That he found.
Yeah, okay. Birds that should have been looking where they were going.
Yes.
And, McGee Marsh, that's going to be the big place in the month of what, April and May?
May, the first week of May is the big birding week of the United States.
You'll probably find Ed Lux up there in a tent.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not far away from there.
That's right.
Yeah, he lives now up in Port Clinton.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure he moved up there for one purpose.
Yes, oh, my gosh.
Birds.
He's been taking pictures, and I commented them on the other day. I said, Ed, you're lucky with all these pictures you're getting.
Yeah, and I feel fortunate, too. I just dropped my earphones. Oh, my. In case your radio went clunk. Ed Lux and I went on together on the first bird count over 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been going strong ever since.
Yep. Now we're going to be in charge of it this year. So
okay.
He's going to kind of help me out, but...
Well, that's good because he'll be out of the chair. He'll be involved in another bird.
Yes, that's right. So I'm kind of nervous, but I think he'll help me.
He'll
get
have
started.
More seagulls than he can.
That's true.
And double-breasted cormorants.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We have a few, but not a lot. Like
and Lake Erie water snakes.
That's right. Yep.
Boy, they're everywhere up there.
Yes, they are.
Oh, I guess unless you mess with them, they can be a little feisty. They can snap, but. They're not going to poison you or anything
no,
like that.
No. As long as you leave them alone, they leave you alone.
Okay. So if anyone would like to get in touch with you, where would they find you on the internet?
If they Google Marion County, Ohio Park District, there's also our Facebook page, the Marion Tallgrass Trail, or the Marion County, Ohio Park District page. Of course, there's our office phone number, 740-223-4161.
Okay.
So that's our other lot of forms of contact.
All right. Very good. James Anderson, our naturalist and man who guides you and informs you and does everything in conjunction with the Marion County Park District. And he'll be back a week or a month from today.
That's right.
So stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 to 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act.
It's not an act.
It's a big old act.
I'm going to blow up your act.
Don't blow up my act. I really don't have an act. I just see it talk rapidly.
Well, Porky, you know I can't sign off this program with you here. Before we close out, where did your famous saying come from, and then give it to us?
Oh, it's how they asked me to end the cartoon. That's it. It was that simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. You are a... But so much was made, and I don't know why, during the first Jim Tressel press conference when all that hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.
You know what I think, actually? I have very quick wit. Sometimes it's smarter than my tongue. But you know what I wish is? I wish people had a lighter touch. And do I regret I said it? Probably so.